You know, where you guys have an opportunity to ask questions, anything you want to address maybe around unity or something that's going on in your life or principles. So I do try to speak to as many of those questions as I can during this time. Sometimes I kind of put them together. Last week, Ken Smith had submitted something about intuition and our third eye and tuning into that. And actually today is Donna Begley's question, and it revolved around how do we handle, you know, the overwhelm, the busyness of our lives, the work day and our work environment, and yet be centered and poised and relaxed. And so the talk title for today is Kick Up Your Heels or Take a Nap. Fun and relaxation are renewing. Put that down. So, you know, when we... I've got these tapes so they don't fly away. When we take a look at how our workplace has changed, how and just how our norms have changed over the last 15, 20 years, we're aware that... for the most part now, oftentimes both parents work. We're aware that people put in far more work hours than they used to. We're aware that companies, when they are trying to create a greater productivity and greater bottom line for the investors, they have been getting rid of the extraneous people at work, they felt, and cutting down staff, and then just having who was left work more hours or work harder or expected them to do the same amount as two people. So we can understand why as we have focused on a society, on a workplace that is engaged in performance and bottom line versus a place of health and wholeness, we can see the challenges for all of us, whether we're involved in the workplace, whether it's the busyness in the home and the expectations. We all have some of that that we deal with. I was quite interested in doing some research. I looked quite a bit on growing trends in businesses in the United States, and this was from an abcnews.gov.com story. They said, not only are Americans working longer hours than at any time since statistics have been kept, but now they are also working longer than anyone else in the industrialized world. And while workers in other countries have been seeing their hours cut back by legislation focused on preventing work from infringing on private life, Americans have been going in the other direction. So, you know, when I take a look, and this may not apply to all of you, we all have busyness and overwhelm in our lives, but for those of you who are in the workplace, how many of you actually take your fully allotted vacation time? High five for you, Linda. The healthiest one here. It's telling. And a lot of the reports, I didn't want to bore you with all the statistics, but in looking around and in other countries where you would expect they would work longer or be more overwhelmed, we lead in the world. And we wonder why we're stressed. We wonder why we have road rage. You know, never bothers me at all. Who was it that was driving behind me? I think it was John and Linda. Were you guys the one driving behind me when I was like cutting in and out trying to get to church on time? Yeah, they're just laughing. And they got there like 30 seconds different than me. And I'm like, get out of the car. I'm going, God. They were laughing. Yeah. That's good. And so we forget that vacation and relaxation and time apart are so very important. And even now, how many of you, when you're on vacation, are either checking in with work or answering voicemail or emails or... yes, Jim's raising his hand. Yeah. So the statistics on that are something like I can't remember, actually, 85% of people who go away on vacation do not ever truly really go away and unplug. So when we think about the importance in our lives of rest and relaxation, it's important for us to realize the dynamic that keeps us stuck in this belief of performance and also fear. It's fear sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, if I'm not here, the stuff I need to do won't get done, or someone won't know how to do it, or I'll have more to do when I come back. I mean, I'm there, everyone's there. And so it begins to really invite us into a perspective of what's most important. I'm going to share from Scripture in Exodus 23:12. It says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. And it goes on to say in Mark 6:31, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And this is talking about Jesus and when he was out with his disciples. Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And in Luke 5:16, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. You know, friends, it invites us to be aware of what value we place on the activities in our lives. And we have been in this country, we've been very focused on making money and having lots of toys and doing good things, and there's nothing wrong with that. Where we get into trouble is when we shift our consciousness and our choices from the place of breathing, of being, to that place of constantly having to perform and do. There is a Chinese proverb that says, tension is who you think you are. Or, excuse me, tension is who you think you should be. Relaxation is who you are. So I'm going to have everybody who's able or who chooses to just sit for a minute and clench your fists really tight. Yeah, who wants to do that? And if you're like me and you notice that you clench your jaw, clench your jaw, see what that feels like. Okay, now let it go. So how many times, you know, during the week or even during an hour do we think to be aware of the state of our body and the state of our mind? And to recognize the importance and the value of choosing to breathe and to relax. So, I pulled up, there was so much online about the actual benefits of relaxation, the benefits of napping, the benefits of laughter.
Love to laugh.
So, laughter is clinically proven to boost the immune system, to reduce the risk of heart disease, to decrease stress. We sort of know that. It can assist as a mild antidepressant because it boosts the production of serotonin, which is a natural antidepressant. Laughter also works as an effective distraction from things that cause anxiety and anger. Okay? Laughter also reduces blood pressure. When you laugh, the blood flow increases, circulation improves, and your blood pressure rises. When you stop laughing, your blood pressure drops back to its baseline. This relaxing effect helps to lower your baseline blood pressure. It also uses up calories. Who's in on that one? Yeah. There we go. Let's all, you know, that belly laugh. There. It's a natural painkiller. It helps keep diabetes under control. Makes you look younger. As many as 15 facial muscles work together to help you smile and laugh. This increases the blood flow around the face, bringing the circulation into even the smallest of capillaries, which in turn helps to make you look younger and healthier.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
That's why I look like that. I'm so
re-energize mind and body. It aids with sleeping. And it also is the very best kind of contagious that we can have. Because don't you notice that when one person starts to laugh, you can't help but laugh along? You know, it just... And have you ever, do you remember when you were kids or adults or, you know, when you start to laugh and you snort your milk or, you know, and then one person laughs and then the other laughs and then you can't stop laughing, you just keep laughing until you're rolling on the ground. When was the last time? Think about it. When was the last time you participated in that? So it just speaks to us of where we place our value. Where we place our thinking, where we place our choices in what we do on a day-to-day basis. So Donna was asking, it's like, you know, how do we balance? How do we live our lives knowing that in the world we have to perform at a certain level according to our jobs and expectations? And yet, where do we begin to say, unless we who know differently begin to walk differently, begin to demand differently, begin to exemplify as Jesus did. How did Jesus teach? By example, he walked a different path. And friends, in the workplace, when we get so overwhelmed and when so many demands are placed on us, when was the last time you said, no, I'm sorry, I will not be able to do that? Bob knows this. We were at an immersion program. He's laughing already. We had to practice looking at somebody asking you something exceedingly reasonable and saying, no, thank you, I will not do that. When was the last time?
Almost never.
Exactly, Janine. Because we're not taught that it's okay. And because we tend to be so focused on performance-based living and by people's expectations that we forget to walk our own path of what we know is important. I mean, that list was just a few of the actual clinical results of how laughter changes us. And we all know meditation, yoga, tai chi, so many things that contribute to the relaxation, to the letting go. They renew our mind, they invigorate us, they allow us to be more productive. And yet we continue to buy into, because everybody else is kind of doing it. We're busy and we do more, and oh, well, I better keep up with somebody. And so we find that it's challenging to experience, to let go, to make a different choice. In scripture from Psalm 68, 3 through 4, it says, but let your people be happy and celebrate because of you. Our God, you are the one who rides on the clouds. Isn't that cool? Rides on the clouds, and we praise you. And in Psalm 96, it goes on to say, tell the heavens and the earth to be glad and to celebrate. Command the ocean to roar with all of its creatures and the fields to rejoice with all of their crops. Then every tree in the forest will sing joyful songs. How often do we just walk into the office or the workplace or into our families that might be with overwhelm and a lot of things to do and just take a moment to laugh, to watch a funny show, to shift the focus of what we feel is so important and it has to be done. And at the end of the day, what would it really be like if it weren't done? step. I really like this quote. This is one from inspirational author, thanks, Terry, Douglas Pagels, and he says, sometimes it's important to work for that pot of gold. We want to pay our bills, we want to have nice things, we want to be okay in society and do what we need to do. But he goes on to say, but other times it's essential to take time off and to make sure that your most important decision in the day simply consists of choosing which color to slide down the rainbow. You know, isn't it wonderful to contemplate what that might feel like? To take time out, even in the busyness, to take time out when you're sitting at your desk and you notice your shoulders are all up here and you're all uptight and you recognize your hands are clasped like this, and to think about the rainbow. Michael Pritchard, who was a comedian and a youth counselor, he says, you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. And Ovid, the Roman poet, goes on to say, take rest. A field that has rested gives bountiful crop. Farmers, we've got farmers right here. You're aware that the field has to lay fallow for a time, that you can't just keep replanting it, because what happens? It gets depleted. We get depleted, friends, when we keep focusing on the outer world and on all the things that have to be done and on production and thinking that the world will come to an end, we'll get fired, whatever we think. You know, our minds go on and on and on. They make up all kinds of stuff. But that shifts us into a fear place, as opposed to breathing and trusting in the flow of divine universe that guides us when we do take time to regenerate, to relax, to renew. And that we will be guided. And everything in the research that I did says that even out of 5 minutes out of every hour, if you were to take that time to just relax, to do something different, to breathe, that your production increases. So while, and I'm so guilty of it. I keep going, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, and we do that. We just forget. So I'm hoping in talking today and in celebrating this beautiful day with a picnic and with friends and recognizing the importance of laughter. We heard all the wonderful benefits and recognizing how wonderful it is to play, to realize that our choices make a difference in how we experience our everyday. Jim Goodwin says, the time to relax is when you don't have time for it. Isn't that the truth? So take a minute and just look at the beautiful flowers. Look at the sky. And call out some of the ways that you like to relax. Sitting with your pets. Yes, Joanne.
Kayaking.
Yeah. I love it when my cats, you know, when I get so busy, my cats like jump up on me. And when I work on my talk, you know, on Saturday for Sunday, as many of you know, there's just a lot of time, thought, and research that goes into it. And I'm sitting there, and it takes me a good 12 to 14 hours or more to do that. I'm going away, and I'm like, and what does my cat do?
Jumps
right up on me and goes and puts his face right here, and I'm trying to type, and he's like, no, Mom, you can't do that. Anybody else have pets that do that? Yes, exactly. And then I stop, and I go, okay, Jaxie, you're reminding me. What other ways do you do to relax? Meditation, Tai Chi, yoga, come on.
Be outside.
Come on.
Listen to bread. This is song by bread.
Yes. Ooh, I like bread too. That beats us, huh? Okay. Anybody else?
Sitting on the patio watching the river go by with a glass of wine.
Yes. And the swans. Yes. What else? Come on. Riding your motorcycle. I bet that is. When you can relax, when it's not, the wind's not blowing over. Okay, what else? Bicycle riding. You know, and, I'm sorry.
Hiking,
right. And you know, exercise actually can be a real form of relax because it releases stress and it gets you moving and seeing differently. Dancing, how many of you just dance crazy in the front room or dance wherever? Yeah. So you know, this is a time to just recognize that we have a choice throughout our day and each and every day. Where is our focus? And do we get caught up, like everyone else, in following a certain pattern of having to be a certain way, of performance-oriented? Or do we trust that in and through relaxation and renewal and taking time apart as Jesus to pray, to meditate, to connect to the source of our being, that we will in fact recognize and realize a greater productivity? From Scripture in Psalms 126, it says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced." And Psalm 9 goes on to say, "God Most High, I will rejoice, I will sing, I will celebrate." And from Proverbs, many of you know this, "A merry heart does good like medicine." So let us consider in going forward what choices we are making. And know if we are to have balance in our lives, it is that we become more mindful. We take time apart. We decide that we are going to be childlike, like little children. You know, when children go out and play, they run around the fields. Do they stop and look to see who's watching them? Do they have any sense of embarrassment because they think they look silly? No. When was the last time, you know, that we could feel that abandoned? To just play, to kick up our heels, to take a nap, to laugh for no reason, and to recognize how renewing that is, how revitalizing it is. Journalist and Washington, D.C. correspondent Linda Ellerby says, "I have always felt that laughter in the face of reality is probably the finest sound there is. In this world, a good time to laugh is any time you can." So, friends, I am going to invite you, in the spirit of having fun, let's play.
You are coming out. Oh, he's
okay, first of all, here. Okay, so you will find our video now, and you will find our video. There are